What we do in life echoes in eternity.
You will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live.
From the WSFI studio in Libertyville, Illinois, this is Pro-Life Today with your host, Joe Scheidler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pro-Life Today. We are WSFI. That's 88.5 on FM Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Joe Scheidler, and today my guest is Dawn Fitzpatrick. Dawn is the director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Welcome, Dawn.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Dawn's been with the Archdiocese just a year now, right?
Yes.
Came in June of 2014. She brought 10 years of parish youth ministry experience from both the Diocese of Charleston and the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Dawn has a master's degree in communications, a graduate certificate in theology. And Dawn, I understand you're currently seeking a certification in theology of the body.
I am. That's true.
So prior to making a life in church ministry, she was a corporate trainer and instructional designer. She taught college students in her spare time for over 20 years at three different colleges. What were they?
Anne Arundel Community College, the Central Piedmont Community College, and York Technical College.
Great. Good for them. Dawn's primary vocation is wife and mother. She served with her husband of 24 years, Mike, and her two daughters, Elise and Erin. Right?
This is true, yes.
Great. Well, Dawn, it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's great coming.
We're kind of playing tit for tat. I was on your program a couple of days ago.
Yes, you were.
I said, why don't you come up here and we'll do a little interview. Okay, so you're director of the Respect Life Office. You came from South Carolina. How's Chicago treating you?
Great. It's a nice place. I was pleasantly, somewhat surprised to find how nice the people are here. You know, you kind of have an impression of what people in the north are going to be like, you know, and this to me was kind of north, but I found out it's not really. So everybody here's been great. The people are wonderful.
Everybody here is from somewhere else.
This is true.
That's what I found out when I came to Chicago. I had the same experience. I came from South Bend. I'd been teaching at Notre Dame, and I came up to teach in Chicago, and I thought, oh, the big city. But everybody was provincial. They were nice.
One thing that I found is really great is that drivers are nice.
Yeah, they are.
They let you in. They'll wait for you. They pay attention to your signals. So that's a nice thing.
It's pretty much that way. Yeah, once in a while a little horn, but not too much. Did you do basically the same thing in South Carolina that you're doing here?
Well, not exactly. I was actually a parish youth minister, and I spent a lot of time with the teenagers and faith formation. I was the director of confirmation as well, working with the teenagers and bringing them to the March for Life and getting involved in things that were going on in our faith and teaching them about social justice issues, and certainly that primary social justice issue is life itself. And that we've certainly had some challenges with that in the last 42 years. So I was very successful in getting the teenagers involved and helping them to understand how important it is to stand up for our right to life.
When did you hear about the job in Chicago?
Well, my husband actually had, before I moved here last June, my husband had been here just about 2 years. His job moved him here 2 years prior to we decided to move the family. And we didn't really think we were going to move. He took the job thinking, well, I'll commute for a while. We'll see how it'll work, which turned out to be very difficult, very expensive, and of course kind of miss each other when you've been married for 20 some years and now you're in a long distance relationship. So something had to happen, and it was Thanksgiving. We were both sitting on our respective laptops across the room from each other, and all of a sudden he said, you know what, I just see something I want you to look at. And I said, okay. And of course, you know, he copied the link and sent it to me across the room. And
as we do now.
That's right. Then he said, this has your name written all over it. I'm not sure if you really want to do this, but look at this. And what he'd been doing was trying to find out what Chicago was going to be doing around March for Lifetime, because he knew that we did our march in Columbia, South Carolina, and he probably wasn't going to make that. So he wanted to see if there was something here. Turns out there was. But meanwhile, he ran across a posting for the director of the Respect Life Office, and then he said, it's as if they looked at your resume and wrote this.
Really?
Yeah. Right. So it worked out, and I applied for it and had an interview the first week of January, and then they offered me the job in February.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, Chicago's a big archdiocese.
It sure is.
And how do you know all the various parishes and the people you have to work with in the parishes? That takes a lot of time.
It does take a lot of time, and it's certainly a challenge. Over 300 parishes all over the place, and although we're kind of condensed compared to some other dioceses, it's really a long way with traffic and all the people that we can see. So, you know, we do have representatives in each of the parishes. We try to get the parishes to have a Respect Life coordinator, which would be our link to the parish, really. And then we do regularly communicate with those coordinators.
Do most of the parishes have a pro-life coordinator?
Maybe half. It's certainly something that we would like to improve on. Just depends on the focus of the parish, and then certainly sometimes the coordinator leaves or moves on and they don't replace them. But it is something we definitely like to see, just because this is our link to the life issues of the parish, and helping people to understand in the parishes certainly the issues and what they can do to be pro-life and what it really means to be pro-life. And then what we're also working on arranging to get a vicariate level coordinator in each vicariate. Now up in the vicariate one, we have a vicariate coordinator, and she's very active. She tries to pull the coordinators together and to...
Who is that?
Evelyn Getty.
Good.
Yeah, she's very good. I've been meeting with her pretty regularly, so it's nice to have her.
So that would be one of your problems, is to get these coordinators in every parish.
Right. And that's, you know, that's a bit up to the pastor, certainly, because that would be somebody that would work directly with the pastor and to help the pastor to bring all of the pro-life information to the parish.
I know that your focus is a lot of attention on chastity, mm-hmm. the issue of chastity, mm-hmm. and which is a term you don't hear much nowadays. But in light of the recent Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage, mm-hmm. I think we have to talk about that. Do you think there'll be an increase in interest in your program?
Well, you know, we've seen a huge increase of interest based on what it is, because I was really pleasantly surprised to see, as we go into parishes and as we go into schools, how welcome the message is of truth, of theology of the body. We really learn, as you start to listen to it, what God's plan for us is, why He created us, how He created us. We learn who we are, and we learn whose we are, which people have forgotten. We talk about, and actually John Paul II talks about the fact that we kind of are living with spiritual amnesia, where we just have forgotten who God is and what we were meant for. And a lot of that came from the fall, but it's been so long and things have happened and we've gotten so far removed and so self-centered. It's something that we need to think about again. And as we start to deliver this message of theology of the body and what a beautiful message it is, and we start to learn how loved we are and why God created us, and just the fact that we all have a calling. And if you listen to that calling, then you're going to find happiness and joy, where if you're only living for yourself and immediate gratification, you're never fulfilled. And I think that the fact that we have a culture of death at this moment really stems from the fact that people don't understand the truth. It's so easy to say, well, I want it, so therefore I'm going to get it, and it's going to satisfy me. And then, okay, so it satisfies you for a minute or a week or a month, and then you're tired of it, so you throw it away and you look for something else to fill that void. And unfortunately, there's a hole that never gets full,
right?
Because it was at one point described as trying to throw marbles into the Grand Canyon. That's how big the hole is.
Right. The only
thing that can fit in that hole is God's love.
The basic reality is that the proper object of the intellect is truth.
Absolutely.
And so you can't be satisfied with falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is frustrating, when people are looking the wrong place for the truth. And the same with the object of the will is good.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these things just aren't good. This whole idea that the Supreme Court ruled on same-sex marriage is absolutely nonsense.
Right.
And there's no good there. There's no satisfaction. It's just a scary situation, because our founding fathers said that this nation, this type of government won't work unless the people are good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not good. Take us through a day. Get your office and out on the streets and let us see who you meet with and what your approach is. And if you find any resistance,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're teaching chastity, you're teaching pro-life, you're talking frequently with people that just aren't on the same wavelength. And so I'd like to hear how you go about this. I think I'm getting a signal here for a little break. So we'll take this short break here on Pro-Life Today. I'm Joe Scheidler. I'll be right back to continue the conversation with Don Fitzpatrick of the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office.
Hello, I'm Sister Marie Julie. I've been a Sister of Charity for 50 wonderful years. It's by the grace of God that I'm a sister. And I often listen to Catholic radio. And I I feel that it feeds the hunger of the world. There are so many people who are longing for God, yearning for Him, don't realize where the emptiness comes from or where it's going, and Catholic Radio can help to meet that need.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is blessed with the opportunity to participate with WSFI Catholic Radio in the new evangelization. Holy Family is your local resource for books, CDs, and DVDs from Catholic Answers, Ignatius Press, and all of the other fine publishers featured on Catholic Radio. Holy Family also has the area's largest selection of baptism, communion, and confirmation gifts. Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is located at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information is available on Facebook.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Okay, here we are back. You're listening to Don Fitzpatrick with the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office. I'm Joe Scheider. This is Pro Life Today, WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. So, Don, I asked you just before the break if you'd kind of like take us through a day. You're kind of a mystery to a lot of people, and certainly to me. Now, you drive in an hour and a half to your office every day. And that you could offer that up and skip purgatory altogether, but take us through a day. You're at your office, so what do you do?
Well, you know, it's interesting because one thing I've found with this position I'm in is every day is different. It keeps me hopping, that's for sure. I have some days, like on Mondays, we try to have a staff meeting in the morning, so that sounds pretty office-like, doesn't it? I have four people on my staff, and that would be Ray Pingoy, who is in charge of the Chastity Education Initiative. And then I have Victor Vallejo, who is program manager and Hispanic outreach coordinator. His job is to keep in touch with all of the coordinators on a regular basis to help us promote what we're doing in the office, to reach out to the parishes, and anything that needs a Spanish presentation, he certainly handles that.
Where's
also.
Victor from?
He's from Mexico.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But he's been in Chicago for quite a few years at this point. He came here actually as a seminarian, and when he discerned out of the seminary, he was almost a deacon, and then in the 6 months he was taking to decide, he met the woman that he married. So.
Oh, that happens.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
There are a number of people that I know, and I'm one of them, mm-hmm. who spent some time in the seminary.
That's right.
And came up pretty close to the priesthood.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so we were blessed to have him, and he has a master's in theology. Both of the men on my team are very strong Catholic men, good fathers. They have children, very wonderful wives. So it's nice to have them. They're very good at what they do. They communicate well. They're well respected. And then I have a new lady on the team. Her name is Anna Streck, and she is our administrative assistant, and she'll also be doing some program management as well. And we are blessed to have found her, and she speaks Polish.
We're
very excited to have rounded out our office with her. So she's been with us about a month, which is kind of nice. She helps us with all of our budgeting and bookkeeping, and she's also going to help us with some projects for the Polish community, which I'm very excited about. She also has a master's in theology. So it's a very well-educated group we have. Ray has done in the past, he works a lot with the Couples for Christ group, which is an apostolate. And before he came to us, he was a missionary with them. They traveled around, did all kinds of things, and he met his wife as a missionary. Often, like I said, on Monday mornings, we meet as a team. We look at what's coming up. We look at what we're working on, those types of things. And we also have Mass in our office at 11:30 every day.
Oh, nice.
So whenever possible, we try to get to Mass. There are, I think, three priests in our building. We're about to have a fourth one join us. So an office day, you know, we have, of course, like anybody in an office, emails, phone calls. We also run Project Rachel out of our office. which is Post Abortive Healing.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very important ministry. It's actually spelled out in the Pastoral Plan for Pro-Life Activities from the USCCB, the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops, that you know, we should have Post Abortive Healing ministry, specifically Project Rachel. So we actually run that out of our office. And we do get several calls a day from mostly women who are suffering, and they're suffering because they, at some point after they had an abortion, they realized what they did.
Yeah.
And nobody ever told them that they were going to feel bad. So,
do they get to talk to somebody who is post-abortive? You have somebody come in there too?
Well, we actually have some different scenarios. You know, we answer the phone and we find out what their situation is, what they need. Sometimes they just want to talk to us for a while. And depending on what they're looking for, we have counselors we can refer them to. We have about 8 pages of priests who have been specifically trained to talk to these women. Some of them, most of the time, the women would go for confession, of course, and discussion. But it takes usually a good bit of time, because the healing is, it's a deep wound. So these priests said, I'm willing to set aside time to spend whatever time they need. It's usually more than one visit. So we have priests that will do that. And also I do have some people that work with us who are post-abortive. And so I do have people who, of course, are in that situation and have found healing and are able to help them. And then we also work with some support groups and things like that, so that we can, it just depends on what they're looking for.
Right.
Now, I've had men call in, because it's more and more recognized now that men suffer. You know, for whatever reason, the world is telling everybody this is a woman's issue, but you don't get pregnant by yourself. It's half from the man.
Right. Well, we've run into that so much. Shostak did a book on men and abortion. Mm-hmm. And even though he tried very hard to make it look like a good thing, almost every chapter in that book is a downer, mm-hmm. is people saying, it still bothers me. And a lot of times, the man won't even know mm-hmm. that his girlfriend is pregnant, is getting an abortion, and he finds out later. And he realizes how totally absent he was from the life of his own child.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when they wrote the book, I did an interview with them, and they didn't ask me the right questions. So I simply wrote up a statement. It was like 6 pages of men and abortion, and they did publish the entire statement in the book, tried to counter it with Bill Baird writing something, but I think I won, mm-hmm. because right in the middle of the book is what a man really goes through, according to the people I've talked to and tried to help counsel.
And I was just going to say that, you know, there's so many more people that are affected, and it's becoming more and more apparent that there's more than just a woman affected by an abortion. Not only the men involved, but there's grandparents, there's siblings.
Right.
You know, Vicki Thorne, who founded Project Rachel, she often says, and in her research, she discovered through biology now, that, you know, a woman who is pregnant continues to have those cells in her body the rest of her life from that baby. And she passes those cells on to subsequent children. So what that means is any children that a woman has after she has an abortion still has the cells in their body from those aborted babies, not to mention all of their siblings that came before them. It's actually happened that children start to feel a void and they don't know why. They know someone's missing because it's this absence in their heart. It's almost like they can feel the sibling that's not there. And of course, that almost sounds like hocus pocus to some people, but it's been proved. Vicki has found this research and she's talked about it in some of the trainings she's done with us. A person who chooses to have an abortion, of course, they don't realize all the people they're affecting. And any of those people might call us. And sometimes they do. I've had a woman call one time who was had discovered her daughter had an abortion, and it was just heartbreaking for her. And then she couldn't relate to her daughter. And so she was having all of these horrible feelings and thoughts towards somebody she loved. And so then she's feeling guilty and bad.
But she didn't have that grandchild.
She didn't have that grandchild.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A real absence.
Mm-hmm.
That's the horror of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absence of life.
Right.
That should have been. I knew a young girl who was a twin, and her mother had had an abortion, and they aborted the little boy, the twin. And this young girl knew someone was missing, someone she'd been close to. It was the saddest thing. She got back with her mother, but she went through a period of time where she really hated her mother.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't relate to her because this somebody was missing. And the mother was frank with her because she had been injured in the abortion. And she knew that her mother had tried to abort her, but she didn't really know mm-hmm. that there was somebody else, but there was that sure. sense of missing a sibling. Recently had the Fortnight for Freedom, and I was able to attend then the party afterwards in the mass. What's the main aim?
Well, this is something started by the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops, and they said, you know, we realize that we're more and more having our religious freedoms challenged in this country, and in some cases even removed. I mean, there are certain things that we were guaranteed in the Constitution since the beginning of our country, the founding of our country, and it seems like we're in fear of losing some of those things. We've seen in recent years things like Catholic institutions don't always have the right to refuse to have contraception in their health care plans. We know it to be wrong. We certainly don't want to be providing it to people, and we certainly don't want to be paying for it when we know that it's a bad thing, and it's against God's plan for us, and it's unhealthy. And there's so much research out there now that shows you how bad the birth control pill is for people, how it harms women in the long term especially. But yet some of the legislation is saying that we have to administer that in one way or another. So that's just one thing. There's also been things that have come up that say I think it was maybe in Tennessee, where they said if you harbor an immigrant in any sense of the way, to harbor them, whether you feed them, clothe them, give them shelter, then you're a criminal. And so the churches weren't able to take people in to their churches and take care of them. And, you know, and that's just, of course, we're here to help immigrants. We're here to help the poor. And that's what we do, as you see in the recent encyclical that's come out. I mean, it's all related, right? We need to take care of people. We take care of everything, take care of the earth. We take care of ourselves. But once the government starts to say, if you're a criminal for taking care of someone,
We're in big trouble.
I mean, this is a human being. They have a right to the dignity of human life, just like anybody else. So that's certainly an issue, not to mention the fact that gay marriage is the law of the land. What does that mean to our religious freedom? We were just talking to Peter Breen about that on my radio show yesterday.
Right.
And it seems that, I mean, there's already some people standing up saying, oh, well, now we need to take away tax exemptions from churches because they don't want to perform these ceremonies. At least it's being speculated that that's coming.
Might be that this needs a whole lot of discussion, because I think that there's so much concern now on the part of the Catholics, especially because this is like a war against Catholics. So I wonder if maybe another program on the future of the Catholic Church mm-hmm. in this country. So that's all the time we have anyway for today. So thanks again to my guest, Don Fitzpatrick of the Archdiocese Pro-Life Office, and we're going to have Don back.
Okay.
So if that's okay with you, Don, I'm going to sign off and stay tuned. You should be tuning into this program anyway. So, Don, we'll have you on again.
All right. Well,
and
thank you.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks
this
for
is Joe Scheider on Catholic Radio WSFI 88.5 FM. Thanks for listening. This is Joe Scheidler in Chicago. Want to learn some Latin? Well, here are three simple words that say it all. Ora et labora. That's the motto of the Benedictines, and that means pray and work. Pray for the 4,000 babies who will be cruelly killed in legal abortions today in American cities alone. But also work to end abortion. Pray and work. How do you work? Well, come out to an abortion clinic near you. Pray there. But also talk to the women going in. Offer them help. If you want to know how, give us a call. We're the Pro-Life Action League in Chicago. Call us at 773-777-2900. That's 773-777-2900. Or contact us at prolifeaction.org.
Bishop George Rassus speaking. I live in Libertyville, Illinois, in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jesus and the apostles had the spoken word one-on-one, and yet through radio and the magic of electronic media, we can reach all kinds of people instantly. And so the message is as important or more important than ever in our world today, and I hope that many of us will listen and learn and come close to the Lord each and every day. And God bless you.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light. Only on WSFI Catholic Radio, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
A reflection on the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
He is our true Father, and we are his true children.
Our Father, who knows us better than we know ourselves. Our Father, to whom we owe everything. Our Father, who is in us. Our Father, who is constantly with us. Our Father, who is everywhere.
Hallowed be thy name.
God, help us to begin to understand how perfect, awesome, and holy you are.
Your name is holy. Your name means respect. Your name means authority. Your name means everything.
Thy kingdom come.
We acknowledge his kingdom and lordship in our hearts and wait for the day he comes in glory.
Your sovereignty, your authority, your power, your supremacy, your dominion, your direction in our life, in our spirit, our consciousness, our very essence.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Our hearts are open, Lord, to do your will.
Father, you we will obey. You we will recognize as Father, as guide, right here today.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Father, give us what we need to do your will.
Father, give us this day, just today, what we need, what we require. Help us to be for the present, not the past or future.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Forgive our sins, Lord, and bless us with compassion, humility, kindness, and patience.
Release us from our debt, from the bonds of others. Free us as we free all whom we have held bound.
Lead us not into temptation.
God, provide us with the strength to resist evil.
Father, help us not to be enticed, not to be lured, not to be seduced, attracted or fascinated by something that is not your intention, by something that will draw us away from you, by something that will draw us away from the relationships you have established for us.
But deliver us from evil.
Father, when we fail, save us and lead us to safety.
Father, lead us, free us, release us, rescue and save us from all that is corrupt, destructive, painful, or sorrowful, so that we can spend now in your presence. You are our only source. In you is our very life. Amen.